This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
A message for leadership, and I'm just going to let you in on the conversation. Amen? Because I believe everybody in Celebration has leadership potential, and so as a coach would speak to the potential of his star players, of his team, I'm going to be speaking to your potential, I believe God is going to hit some things on the inside of us and allow things to develop in us, to grow in us, to be released in us and in our lives that are going to take our lives to a new level. Come on, if you believe it, somebody say amen. Amen. All right, you can open your Bible to Matthew chapter 20. I'm not going to get there for a while, but we will get there. The title of the message this morning, since they already put my title up there, is Fans versus Team Players. Fans versus team players. Are you a fan in God's kingdom? Are you a fan in the church? Or are you a team player in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, here's the cool part about this. We at Celebration, we love you, whether you find yourself, as I go through this message, find yourself being more of a fan or more of a team player. We have all been in both categories in our lives, and we love both fans and team players. But this message is really to help us identify where we are currently, and it is to empower us to go further, to go higher, and to be all that God has called us to be. Come on, if you believe that, somebody say amen. Amen. So let's pray, and then we're going to get right into the message this morning. Jesus, we love you this morning. We come to you and we ask for your presence, for your power, for your word, God, to transform us. God, thank you that your anointing will destroy every yoke. Just bring freedom to the lives of the people that hear your word this morning. God, I thank you for empowerment, God, for encouragement to rise up and be all that you've called us to be. God, we declare that you're doing something great in Celebration Church. You're doing something great in Salinas, California, and every person and every family here. God, we declare that we will walk in everything that you have designed for us in Jesus' name. God, if there's hurt here this morning, if there's pain here this morning, we ask you to bring healing to those areas in Jesus' name, because nothing is impossible to those who believe, and we believe you this morning. Our eyes are upon you this morning. Our expectation is from you this morning that nothing is impossible for you to do in our lives, God, and we thank you for the best is yet to come, that today is the day that the Lord has made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad. God, we expect to be different. We expect to change. We expect to be better for your glory. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, somebody shout amen. 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 All right. So we're glad you're here. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And man, just a privilege to speak to you this morning. We here at Celebration believe that church shouldn't be boring because Jesus isn't boring, but that God can absolutely change your life for the better right now. Even as the Word of God is being preached, we believe miracles can happen right now. Amen. And because the Bible declares it so. And so we encourage you not to just be a spectator this morning, but to be a participator. So you can say, man, that's good. You can say, preach it. You can say, oh, that's going to help my life. You can say, preach it, white boy. Whatever you want to say, you can say, let's just try that. Let's just have some fun. Let's just say that. Say, preach it, white boy. Super racist. Wow. Oh, man. Come on, man. I'm glad you're in church. I'm glad to be in church. I plan on having a good time, so why don't you just join in on the party? Amen? And, man, it's good. One thing I know, when you've been with Jesus, we all come out better. Amen? When you've been in the presence of God, we come out better. We come out, you can be walking in a level of freedom, but how many of you know there's more freedom? Amen? And just better, we just more, walking in greater health, walking in greater dominion, walking in greater faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and faith overcomes the world. Whatever you're facing, faith in God is the answer. Amen. Faith in God is the victory. Hallelujah. Oh, pastor, my marriage is hurting. That's okay. Just have faith in God, and faith is the victory. Pastor, my emotions are messed up. That's okay. Faith in God is the answer, and faith in God is the victory. Hallelujah. We walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Sight doesn't bother me because I know God can change sight. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning, and God said, and sight changed. Hallelujah. That's why church is so powerful, because you can show up and your sight, your life, what you can see is all messed up. But God can say something into your life and your sight has to change. Hallelujah. Your life has to change. How many of you know what God says is more powerful than what you can see? I said what God says is more powerful than what you can see. So I can see my bank accounts right here, but my God says I'm blessed in the city and blessed in the field. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm the lender, not the borrower. My God, I wonder if anybody knows what my God says is more powerful than what I see. I don't feel good right now, but my God says by his stripes I am healed. I feel like somebody could give Jesus about 5 seconds of praise in here. What I can see is that Salinas is going to hell in a handbasket, but what God says is me and my household shall be saved. What God says, he pours out his spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Salinas shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My kids are acting crazy, but my God says, hallelujah, you and your household will be saved. Hallelujah. Woo, I could go on, but I got an assignment. Hallelujah. Woo, all right, so here we go. Someone say, here we go. All right, fan. Now, we're talking about fans versus team players. Fans hang out in the stands. Players are on the field getting the job done. Fans are fickle. They're for you one day, and 2 hours later, they're cussing at their TV. Fans are emotional. Fans are unstable. The very label of a fan is fanatic. Fanatical. I don't want to be a fan of Jesus. I want to be a team player in his kingdom. And so now we see fans agree with principles, but they won't practice the principle to see it come to pass. In other words, fans agree with the principle. I agree with the premise. I agree with the principle that celebration should reach lost people and reach people who are far from God, but fans won't invite nobody to church. Because they're a fan, they don't do nothing. They just show up sometimes. Fans agree that celebration should be a loving, welcoming place, but they won't serve on the greeter or the usher team to see that happen. Fans agree that we should have amazing children's ministry. Yeah, they should have amazing children's ministry, ministering my kids, because they're crazy. Come on. I got Bebe's kids up in here. I don't even know. That's old school right there. That's a throwback Thursday right there, I'm going to tell you. But so, I agree with the principle. Celebration should have amazing children's ministry, should have amazing youth ministry, should have amazing young adults ministry. But I'm not going to go through Discover Course to help be a part of the solution, because I'm a fan and I'm not a team player. Got quiet. Y'all were just shouting a moment ago. It's okay. If you're bleeding, God's going to bring healing. Hallelujah. It's good. Hallelujah. Fans agree that celebration should have life-giving small groups to help marriages and families heal and enjoy life, but they won't help lead or be a part of a small group because I'm a fan and not a team player. Mm-hmm. You got a little more quiet. That's okay. I got an amen in my spirit today. Hallelujah. Pat myself on the back this morning. Hallelujah. Fans agree that we should have amazing facilities for kick. We should have amazing facilities for Little Kick and the lobby and the auditorium. We agree it should be amazing. It should feel wonderful in here. We should have the best technology. We should have the best in what is current and what is going on. We should have the best, but they won't tithe or give to help see that happen. Mm-hmm. Hashtag real talk. Yeah. I used to be a team player, but I'm more of a fan now, because serving on the dream team, it just gets inconvenient sometimes. And I bet it was inconvenient for Jesus to die naked on a cross for you. Jesus said, forsake all and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, Jesus is still the biggest deal in our lives. Jesus still deserves every bit of sacrifice, every bit of inconvenience, and I'm going to be faithful in serving him, because as I do, I'm no longer a fan, but now I'm a team player. Hallelujah. Jesus said, follow me, serve me, serve. He said to his disciples, follow me, serve with me, and I will make you fishers of men. So when they started following Jesus and serving Jesus, now this is the thing. Jesus didn't say, if you follow me, you're going to be a part of the miraculous. You're going to be a part of water being turned into wine. You're going to be a part of feeding 15,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You're going to be a part of the dead being raised, the sick being healed. I'm going to use you 12 to change the course of history. He didn't say any of that to them. All he said was, follow me, and I'm going to make you something. I'm grateful that when I follow Jesus, he makes me something. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you a man of God. Follow me and I'll make you a woman of God. Follow me and I'll make you a person of faith. Follow me and I'll make you, hallelujah, I'll make your family. Come on, somebody. I'll make you a great businessman. I'll make you, come on. When you follow Jesus, he makes you what you could never be on your own. He says, follow me, I'll make you a success. Follow me, I'll make you a man of prayer. Follow me, I'll give you integrity. Follow me, I'll put an anointing upon your life. When you follow me, I will make you something. But if I'm not serving Jesus, I'm no longer following Jesus. If I'm not serving in his church, if I'm not serving in the local church and helping touch other people, I question if I'm following Jesus. Because he said, follow me, serve with me. Someone say, shout, serve. We going here this morning. I feel it all in my bones. Serve with me. And he says, when you do that, you're about to see the miraculous. You're about to see, see fish and bread multiplied, and you're about to see water turned into wine. You're about to see Lazarus raised from the dead. You're about to see a woman with the issue of blood for 15 years get healed in a moment of time, because my God can still do things suddenly. And here's what God's saying to you. If you'll start serving again, if you'll be faithful to serve, you're about to see the miraculous show up in your life. Serving precedes miracles happening in your life. Miracles in your finances. I don't know if anybody has faith for this. Miracles in your finances, miracles in your physical body, miracles in your marriage, miracles in your future. God says, if you will be faithful to serve me, I'll unlock miracles in your life. But it was not until the disciples followed Jesus and served alongside Jesus that they saw miracles in their lives. People want to come to church and not do nothing and see miracles. It don't work that way. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You are one yes away from seeing miracles show up in your life like you never have before. Hallelujah. What do you mean? Yes, I will serve in the church. Yes, I will give of my time. I will give of my talent. I will give of my treasure. Yes, pastor, I'll lead a small group. Yes, I'll show up early and clean. Yes, I'll go out and knock on doors. Yes, I'll spread the word. Yes, I'm all in. Let's reach Salinas for Jesus. Let's quit sitting in the stands and get down on the... Someone shout yes. All God needs is your yes. He needs your yes. Wow. So then, buy in. Find a place to serve. Be a part of what God is doing at Celebration. And I believe you're going to see miracles happen in your life. Now listen to this. How many of you notice this? Fans, many times when they go to the game, they look like the players on the field. And you know what they say? They say, oh, we're going to win today. What do you mean we? You're not on the field. Huh? You're 78 pounds overweight. I feel like Chris Rock up in here. Guys wear tank tops and their side boobs hanging out. You know what I'm saying? You're not on the team talking about we gonna win. You ain't getting paid. You ain't a player. You're a fan. You sit on the couch and eat potato chips. But if you ever want to see miracles in your life, you got to get out of the stands and get on the field. Hallelujah. That's good right there. Hallelujah. Players show up, they give more. Players give more, but they also receive more. Players show up early, They work out. They do the dirty work. They leave late. Team players at church. We show up early. I'm part of the dream team. I'm going to make this thing come to pass. I'm going to love on somebody today. I'm going to serve. I'm going to have a servant's heart. And when you start doing that consistently, God says, open up now. You're about to see some miracles in your life. Hallelujah. Fans say this, I hope we win as a church. I hope we reach more people. I hope we see people come to Jesus. I hope the bills can be paid. I hope there's money to increase and expand. I hope we can buy some houses so people can come off of drugs. I hope we can get another campus in another city so revival can happen there. I hope, but team players go beyond hope. They say, I'm going to pray, I'm going to believe, and I'm going to serve until we see it happen. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody give Jesus some praise in here. Fans listen to other friends with the same drama and incompetencies as they have themselves because dysfunction likes company. Team players don't listen to friends. Team players listen to a coach. The best players in the world still need a coach. Tiger Woods, when he was winning all those majors, he had a coach. Come on, Michael Jordan had a coach. LeBron James had a coach. And when he tries to be the coach, they lose. Come on, because everybody needs a coach. And we as church people, when we come into God's house, God says there's a pastor up there, and he'll coach you if you'll let him. You got to listen. I feel something going on in here this morning. Come on, is this helping anybody? Say yes. Hallelujah. There is now this is important when I talk about fans versus team players, because the reason I believe I'm using this is because in the analogy, fans and team players, they want their team to be great. Team players are doing what's necessary to be great. Fans are in the stands just cheering for those who are great. Woo! But there is a desire inside of each and every one of us to be great, to achieve greatness in our lives, because God is great. Many times in the scripture, we hear that, right? We hear, God, you are great and greatly to be praised. There's nobody like you, none beside you. I've searched high, I've searched low, and I've found there is nobody like you. God, you are great. And there is a desire inside of you and I to achieve greatness in our walk with God so that we can be a blessing and have empowerment to help other people when they're sick, to help the lost to find Jesus. I mean, there's a desire to be great financially. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be broke. Come on, there's a desire to be great financially. There's a desire in you to have a great marriage. There's a desire in you to have a great family. There's a desire in you to have a great future. Like, nobody ever woke up and goes, I have a dream to be average. That's what I want. I got a dream to have an average house, have an average body, have an average career, right? Like you never ask your friends, hey, what's the most average movie out right now? Right? Like, you never go to a restaurant and ask the waiter, what's the most average dish on the menu? I want that one. Come on now. My wife never goes to the store, never goes shopping, and goes into the store and says, I want your most average dress. No, we're always looking for the greatest movie. We always want their best dish. We always want the nicest dress that we can afford at the time. Come on, somebody, because there's a desire in you to be better than you are today. And God put that in you. There's a desire to be great. But the problem is, we don't know the pathway to greatness. And this morning, I want to teach you about the pathway to greatness for your life, for your marriage, for your family, for your finances. I believe God is going to give us a key that's going to unlock doors of greatness. Hallelujah. All right, then. I got more if you guys can handle it. I got more. Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. This is Jesus speaking. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great, someone shout great. Whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever wants to be great has to learn how to serve. And I know the devil wants to tell you you're too important to serve, or your life's too jacked up. What's serving going to do for your life? But what you don't realize is that when the devil tells you to pull back from serving or don't serve anymore, or, you know, it's just, what's that going to do? Your life's so big and got so many problems. How is a little bit of serving going to help? I'm going to tell you in a second. But what Jesus said is, if you learn to serve, you can unlock greatness. And there's nothing more frustrating for a believer knowing that you should be walking in greatness, but you're frustrated because you're not even close. Maybe the answer could be, you got to start having a servant's heart. I feel this. I hope you guys are okay with this, because this is what I brought today. I ain't got nothing else in the bag. You know what I'm saying? Right? And listen. Why? If you're taking notes, write this down. Serving purifies your heart. Shout, that's good. Serving, isn't that right? Every time you serve God, it's proof to the devil, what you're throwing at me ain't working. Because if it was working, I wouldn't be serving today. If it was working, I wouldn't be here today. But because it ain't working, I'm going to serve my Jesus. I'm going to love on somebody. I'm going to straighten a chair today. I'm going to vacuum some carpet in the house of God today. Serving purifies your heart. Serving, write this down, keeps you submitted to God. That's why people who stop serving in the local church, many of you used to serve in a greater capacity and you've pulled back. Maybe that was seasonal, maybe that was career, concerning your career, but if that season turns into a lifestyle, you're going to stop accessing greatness. I'm glad I got an amen in me this morning. I'm telling you. Because it's every believer's call to serve in some capacity in the church they're planted in. Amen, Pastor. That's good, Pastor. Preach it, white boy. Hallelujah. Straight up, man. I feel like Run DMC up in here. Come on, man. I feel like the Beastie Boys. Y'all don't even know who that is. Google it. Don't, though. You know, Google clean version. All right, here we go. So let's just... And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. God says the way you get to the front of the line is by taking the back of the line. Woo! God hides greatness inside of insignificant stuff. It looks insignificant that you serve on greeters. It looks insignificant that you show up for ushers. It looks insignificant that you're serving in Kick or Big Kick or 2SM or wherever it is you're serving, parking. It's insignificant. But God says, if you'll be faithful, I'll take you from the back of the line and put you in the front of the line. Woo! Hallelujah! It's counterculture. God's kingdom is paradoxical to the kingdom of this world. In the world, you got to fight to get ahead. You got to scratch to get ahead. You got to talk about other people and gossip about other people to make yourself look good. You got to take, you got to steal, you got to come on. But in the kingdom, you can just serve and watch God take you to the top. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve and give his life for a ransom for many. Hallelujah. This is the Savior. This is the heart of Jesus. And when we do it, life changes. And I know that sometimes in the monotony, listen, a lot of people want purpose, but they don't want to go through the process to get to their purpose. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There is a process to this thing whereby God works the stuff out of us that needs to be worked out of us and puts into us the stuff that needs to be put into us. And if we don't take the pathway to greatness, we'll never achieve greatness. Somebody say amen. All right. A heart of serving can unlock greatness in you and in your life. Now listen to this. Write this down if you're taking notes. If serving is beneath you, then greatness will elude you. If serving is beneath you, then greatness will elude you. And you are called to greatness. And it will always be frustrating if we don't walk in that greatness. And this is one of the power keys to walking in greatness is having a humble, submitted, faithful heart to God. Church, look at me. Coming to church is the bare minimum. And if I'm honest, after a couple of years or a year or a few months of you doing what babies do spiritually, you know what babies do? They wake up and they eat. And that's what we do when we come to church. I'm just waking up and I'm going to come eat. You eat the word. Come on. The word of God feeds you. But eventually, if you ever want more than the reward of eating, you got to begin to grow. And as you mature, there's greater rewards that are placed in your life as a result of your maturity. A business owner is not going to reward laziness. Ooh, a business owner isn't going to reward those who don't do much and are always talking, just barely show up, leave early, come late, don't do much for the company. He's not going to reward them with the promotion. Most times he's going to get fired. But the person who is diligent, the person who serves with a good heart and adds value to the company, they're going to get promoted. They're going to get rewarded. And in the kingdom of God, it's the same way. Somebody say amen. All right, then. Someone said, I want to live my best life right now. I'm going to crush it. I'm going to dominate life. I'm going to touch the sky. But if you want to touch the sky, your knees got to hit the ground. Because the way up is always down in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Joel Osteen. He's got a small church in Houston. Joel Osteen. Most people don't know this, served his daddy for 15 years behind a camera watching his daddy. But while he's watching his daddy, God's putting stuff in him. While he's listening to the word of God through that camera, God's putting the word of God deep on the inside of him. And so he ran all of his daddy's TV's production. And when his daddy all of a sudden went home to be with the Lord, Joel said, I had never thought about pastoring in my life. But when I went to prayer about it, God says, these last 15 years of service have prepared you. Serving in private has prepared you for public power. Hallelujah. Because serving is more powerful than you could ever imagine. But every time you serve, the devil's going to try to tell you it's insignificant, it don't matter, and it's not helping your life. And it's a lie. Those that are faithful see the reward of faithfulness. Someone shout amen. 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 Your pastor preaching this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Write this down. Write this down. Greatness is found in doing what everybody else doesn't want to do. The reason why Steve Weldon is great, and he probably wouldn't want me talking about him, but, you know, it's my message, so no, I'm just playing. But the reason why he's great in the kingdom, the reason why God has so blessed him and his family is because when everybody else goes home, Steve is still emptying trashes, sweeping what needs to be swept, putting away what needs to be put away. Listen to me, fans leave early, team players stay till it's done. Why would you clean your house until it's clean, but then when you serve, you come to God's house, you leave before anything gets done? We need to have a heart that God's house comes first. I mean, it's God and family, but then, you know what I'm saying, in my life, God's house has a priority, and I'm going to take care of God's house like it's more important than my house. Someone say amen. The Bible says if you take care of your house, the Bible talks about this, if you take care of your house, but you leave the house of God in ruins, your pockets are going to have holes in them and your money will fly away from you. That's what it says, church. Because we in this society, it's about me. Follow me. Like me. My best life. On my grind. Hashtag side hustle. Hashtag never not grinding. Hashtag I got to live my best life now. Okay, but God's house and God better be first in your life. Amen. You know what I think? I think every talent you got, I think every passion you got, I think every gifting you got, you should be thinking about ways how you could bring that in here and say, Pastor, how can I serve? I got this creative idea to reach more people. I got this $1 million check. We could reach more people. I know these people in the city, and they can open up a facility, and we could reach more people. I believe team players say, I'm going to use my passion, my connections, my favor, and my giftedness, and I'm going to leverage that to see the kingdom of God expand. And when you start thinking God and his kingdom and how to expand it, how to serve it, how to help it, all of a sudden as you do that, you're going to see your life get bigger. Hallelujah. Just a little something for you there. Amen. I feel it in my bones. I got 6 minutes. Can you take it? Amen. Can you take it? Woo! Write this down. If you're too big to serve, then you're too small to see greatness in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God hides the mega inside the mini. Some of us don't want to serve because it's mini, just small, just insignificant. But God says, what you don't know, and I get it, because a lot of times you come into church and life is so big, the problems, the issues, the stuff you need resolved in your life, and it seems so small for you to show up early and greet people at the door or work hospitality table or be up in here in AE and help play an instrument, help worship God, whatever the case may be in the back and run a computer. I mean, whatever, it seems so small, but God says, if you'll be faithful, I've hidden the great inside the small. Wow. This is our God. This is how he does things. It's a backwards kingdom. Now listen to this. God will hide a new house, a six-figure annual income, a strong marriage, fulfillment in your life. He'll hide that inside of showing up, working parking, security, AE, or whatever. If you'll just do that faithful for years, God will hide the big inside the small. Come on, Pastor Terry. You just be up there in a small building for 25 years. And be faithful to serve me and serve people. And inside of that small thing, I hid this bigger. Come on, man. Yeah. Amen. 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 God hid the huge. All right, so this is my last thing here. This is my last thing. You know, it's funny. The disciples, in this conversation, in this narrative where Jesus is talking about, if you want to become great, then you need to become a servant. If you want to be first, you need to be last. You need to have the servant's heart. Before this narrative, the disciples had a dispute among themselves. Who is the greatest? Isn't that amazing? They're walking with the greatest, yet they're asking themselves, who's the greatest among us? Right? Comparison's a killer. Come on, somebody. So anyway, they have this conversation, and Jesus just asks them, hey, what are you guys arguing about? Real quick, if Jesus asked you a question, he already knows the answer. Has he ever asked you a question and you know he already knows the answer? Come on, right? He already knew what they were arguing about. You know, like in the garden? Adam, where are you? Right? And you know what Adam said? We hiding. I mean, if you're hiding, keep your mouth shut. Come on, somebody. I mean, you know, church people argue over the dumbest stuff. You know, you believe in pre-tribulation. You believe the rapture's coming pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, or post-tribulation. I'm like, homie, I don't know. I'm trying to make it to Thursday. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? We argue over the dumbest stuff. Like whose fault was it that the fall in the garden? Was it Adam's fault or was it Eve's fault? I don't know, but if I got home and my wife was naked eating fruit, I'm going to jump in. Amen, amen. You're going to catch that on the way home. Come on, somebody. What are we eating? I'm in. Hallelujah. Come on, don't hate too much on Adam. You know, we always do that. We're like, oh, the disciples, they're so silly. That's you, homie, that's you. Right? Come on, man. That's going to give you joy in your spirit for a week. Come on, somebody. That's good right there. All right, here we go. Last thing. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. You guys getting anything out of this? Good. If you're getting anything out of it, some of you that haven't been serving faithfully need to get back into serving faithfully, and some of you that's never served need to go to Discover Course. Amen. Because we're going to do this in as a team. Teamwork makes the dream work. And we're going to see your neighbors saved, your family saved. Because when you get in and get a part of this, you start saying, my God, I'm a part of the win. Hallelujah. Amen. Last thing. There was a drought in the land, and a woman and her son were picking up sticks outside of the city, and the man of God showed up and said, what do you have? We have nothing. People are dying all around because of the drought. There's no food. There's no sustenance there. So people are dying out of starvation and out of hunger. This is a horror film, okay? What you see in Africa and some of these, this is what was going on. People dying, kids dying because there's nothing to eat. And the man of God shows up and says, what do you have? And she says, I have nothing in my house except a little jar of oil and a little bit of meal. I'm going to make one last meal, and me and my son are going to eat it, and we're going to die. God shows up in the middle of a hopeless situation, and said, listen, instead of looking at your hopeless situation, it's not too big, it's not too hard, because God's here now. He says, but in order for you to see something happen, go get that oil and that meal and make me, the man of God, make me a cake first. I wonder what some of y'all would have said. I wonder what I would have said. My kid's starving. Come on, somebody. I'm starving, and a man of God show up and say, before you feed your family, feed me. Because God wants you to know, if you will serve him first, he'll bring you out of famine. He will sustain you through the days. Listen, God hid greatness, freedom, deliverance, healing from the famine inside of a small thing. He hid greatness inside of the opportunity to serve God. God hides the great inside of the seemingly insignificant. I'm asking you today, is God calling you to be a team player? Is God calling you to be a part of the dream team? And the answer is yes, for the most part, because every believer should be doing something for God. Hey, how many of you back in the day? I'm going old school just for a second. Is that all right? Back in the day, I'd go to different cities. I'd go to, travel with my grandparents. My grandma used to take me to Phoenix. And I remember traveling with her in different places. And I'd look up at the McDonald's because they like to stop at McDonald's for breakfast. And so, it's economical. And, so it's good. It's good. So that was our stop. We stopped there. And I remember looking up at the Golden Arches and looking up at the sign. And it said something like 80 million served. Isn't that right? You remember that? You remember. Come on. Yeah, you know? And now you look at those same signs, and it says billions and billions served. I heard a preacher say this, and I liked it. What if you had a sign over your head? What if you had a sign over your head that said three served? And you wonder why you're not seeing greatness, and you wonder why you're not seeing miraculous, and you wonder, come on somebody, because if, oh Jesus. So I just want to encourage you this morning, wherever you find yourself this morning, some of us have never served, some of us have served for a while and got discouraged, and God's calling us to get back in because, hey, I know you got discouraged, I know you don't feel like it, but greatness will be unlocked, greatness will be revealed, you will walk in greatness as you are faithful to serve me. And listen, his cause is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ reaching, the greatest soul winner in history is the church. And so as you serve, you're not serving Pastor Terry, you're not serving Celebration, you are serving God and helping his cause be fulfilled in the earth. Someone say amen. All right, so find a place, hook up, serve, be faithful, do what you need to do to be a part of the solution. Let's invite people. Every empty seat is an indictment that we are not inviting people. We are not asking people to come. Come on, how many of you believe if God changed your life up in this place and God is, come on, he can change other people's life. Amen. So invite people, serve, let's be a part of the team. Amen. This is going to be a great year. Pastor Randy's coming next week. We got football Sunday. It's about to go down up in here. Come on, Celebration. All right, this is a word to prepare us and propel you into the rest of this year. I truly believe God is saying this. Some of you, listen, not some of you, everybody who gets in and serves faithfully, you're going to see greatness in your life. Man, I could tell you story after story after story of my family when it looks like we are losing, and yet God will lead us to go serve, to go do something, to go give, to be a part of this. And as we do that, we all of a sudden we see a door open and greatness come into our lives. Come on, someone say it's worth it. God, hallelujah. All right. Come on, bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand and we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. Secondly, you say, you know what? I've known God, but I'm far from him and I need to come back to him. His arms are open wide. There's nothing you could do that would make him turn his back on you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He loves you unconditionally and he's here this morning. Either one of those invitations, I simply want you to lift your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Lift them up. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Anybody else says, yes, that's me. Pray with me, Pastor. Hallelujah. I see your hand. I see your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for every decision being made for you. We give you the glory. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. By your grace, with your help, I turn away from my old ways and I turn to you in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, can we rejoice over every decision that was just made? Hallelujah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.